codes kill kittens and customer service is an oxymoron. One podcast has set out to make things right. This is the Unpodcast with your hosts, Scott Stratton and Allison Kramer.
I have to apologize to all of our listeners. I forgot to bring up the fact that since it's April, it's the beginning and the start of Scott's birthday month.
We don't have birthday months around here because my birthday is March 1st. Mm-hmm. So then my birthday month and my birthday are the same day and it's over.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's not fair. Your birthday is like the 23rd. It's not fair. You get
sounds like a you problem, not a me 23 problem.
23 days of celebration.
That's right.
If you even gave me a month before, it would still be the shortest month of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. No birthday months. Birthdays. Birthdays. Not birth month. Birthday.
It's like 2.5 weeks after Valentine's Day. You know how hard that is?
Oh, please. You're fine.
It's tough.
It's not tough. You're fine. You do fine every single year. And then you have an entire year to think of two things.
Yeah, but 2 months prior, Chris Monica.
You have no trouble buying gifts.
Yeah. I'm sure that inflatable horse was not the best gift I've ever given. So what'd y'all get me? That's really what you have to think about right now on this show is what are you getting Scott for his 43rd birthday? His 43rd rotation around the sun. If I was you, I would think of fantastic things like statues and
personal trainers.
Still hurts.
Massage treatments.
Still hurts.
3 weeks later, still hurting.
On the show today, everything you wanted to know and more about nothing and terrible things. Let's start it off right out of the gate from the CBC, our national broadcaster here in Canada, talking about a Canadian institution. Again, we've come up on the show about Tim Hortons. Coffee chain, food chain, bagels, donuts, you know, sundries, whatever you
There's
want.
There's no sundries.
That's true. Well, soup
Isn't
is
Isn't that like toiletries?
Yeah.
There's no toiletries at Tim Hortons.
You have to use toiletries sometimes after Tim Hortons. So if you're in America and you haven't heard of Tim Hortons, just insert Dunkin' Donuts type of thing.
Yeah.
But one of the things that Tim Hortons is really famous for, including like almost an entire book that I have on the shelf somewhere, is written about this type of thing, which is the roll up the rim to win. They started it. And they were really the first people to do this, where you roll up your rim to see if you've won something. It's like the lottery for caffeine addicts. This is, and you win, you know, most of the times you win nothing. But sometimes you get a free donut, free coffee.
Have you ever won anything more than a donut or coffee?
No.
No, yeah. Neither have I.
No, we don't really know anybody. No,
Wayne hasn't either.
Well, a man in St. John did. So, a St. John man was disqualified from claiming a $50 gift card he won after he rolled up the rim of the Tim Hortons coffee, says the coffee company has offered him an olive branch. Stan Albi told CBC News on Wednesday he felt betrayed after he was disqualified over a rule he didn't know about. The longtime Tim's customer didn't know he had to keep the 8-digit PIN he needed to redeem the prize, so it meant no prize.
There's an 8-digit PIN on Roll Up the Rim prizes?
So right now, it's all is well, though. They called today and apologized and gave him a $70 gift card, and he was thanking again. This is after CBC got involved. So let's go back to where it started. The potentially bitter dispute started in February when Abby was enjoying his usual medium, 2 cream, and a sweetener when he peered under the rim. He's used to winning the occasional donut or coffee, saw a different kind of winner through his tinted glasses this time. $50. It says you won $50. But the $50 gift card was promised to him under the rim was not to be, all because of how he tore off the rim. It's like human nature. I rolled it up, said $50 win. That's the only thing I was concerned about. He should have kept rolling. He would have found an 8-digit PIN he needed to redeem the prize. Abby didn't know about the number when he took his winning rim to Loch Lomond Place Tim Hortons. There, an employee told him he couldn't collect the prize. I asked why not, and she said it was because it didn't include an 8-digit code. He was sent to a second Tim Hortons, where the manager glued his winning rim to a form. Albie had to send that form to Tim Hortons headquarters by registered mail, which cost him $11.60. Then he got a letter back with bad news. It said, I was disqualified. His exuberance about his win was replaced by feelings of betrayal. The only thing I can say to that is shame on Tim Hortons. No one from Tim Hortons replied to a request for an interview, but the rules state in several places that a PIN is needed. A stack of fine print heavy rules are available on the counter at the Loch Lomond Place Tim Hortons. Abby said he not only didn't see the numbers, but no one offered him the rules when he bought his coffee. After collecting other minor prizes, he was unaware of the rule. So you don't.
Yeah, is there a PIN on the minor prizes?
Yeah, you don't need a PIN to get the donut or the coffee. The value of what he was denied doesn't bother him. It's the principal who believes his denied a prize was won fairly. And he said he wouldn't be drinking coffee at the chain anymore. But now that the coffee's reached out to the chain has reached out to him with a $70 gift card, now he's probably back.
Well, otherwise, what's he going to do with the $70?
I get policies.
What do you think? I feel bad kind of for the person at the store. Because if she or he, yeah. I can't remember if they said, took
it. It's not the employee's
fault. Would they be in trouble?
Yeah. Yes. That's why they couldn't take it. They would be held because I'm sure since they're franchise owned as well, Tim Hortons corporate would be reimbursing them for the $50 gift card they gave to the
customer. And they would have said no because
they would have rejected it. Yes. Yeah,
they didn't have the code.
It's not the location's fault. It's the corporate decision of this policy that's done. And it's not clear.
No, because you would think that after, I mean, how long do you think? Like 10 years that they've been doing this?
Oh, easily,
longer?
If not longer, yeah.
So we've lived here our whole lives, both of us. Mm-hmm. And so let's say they've been doing the competition, the roll up the rim for 15 years. Neither of us knew about the pin.
No.
So it's not common knowledge that if you win something more than a donut, you have to make sure you have the pin number. That's right. By no means have they shared that information properly.
And I do understand them having it. You know, when you start giving out the bigger prizes, you can't have somebody make a counterfeit cup. I don't see that happening too much.
But imagine like if it was for more, because some of the prize, there are one or two bigger prizes, right? Yep. And remember bikes.
Oh, yeah. Bikes, cars now,
really?
Money. Oh, bigger, much bigger cash prizes for sure. Oh, yeah.
Well, remember everybody listening, now you know.
There was a scandal when the McDonald's Monopoly ones were done, right? The company that was manufacturing them, somebody inside the company knew which ones were winners. And way back in the day of, I haven't told anybody, I used to work at a movie theater. And
he waited for me to be taking a sip of water to say that.
And we had a promotion with Twizzlers, and they had scratch cards, and it was a Nintendo themed one where if you scratch three matching prize logos, you won Twizzlers and everything else. Well, there's two things. One, the shade of purple that the cards, because these were grape Twizzlers. It was a promotion when they had grape Twizzlers. And they had, it was almost like a very faint difference in the shade of the card that may be a winning card.
Yeah.
And then what you'd do is you'd take, allegedly, scotch tape over the scratch surface and take off a few layers of the scratching
You can
things,
cheat.
And then we put it over a light table.
Gosh, people have too much time.
Oh, we were so efficient for those type of things. We thought we'd get something free. Yeah, I wouldn't clean up the theater, but I could do this.
And only, you put it over you light and you can see the symbols. Only bring it up like when we mention movies or popcorn.
Or humans.
Or the 80s.
90s.
90s.
It was a big time in my life.
Do you think you were rude ever to anyone?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Do you think that was a cultural thing? Like Canadians are rude?
It was a Gen X thing for sure.
It was a Gen X thing? Because this story is hysterical. I think this is hysterical. This is from theguardian.com. It says, French waiter says firing for rudeness is discrimination against my culture. Says a French waiter fired for being, quote, aggressive, rude, and disrespectful, end of quote, says his behavior wasn't out of line. He's just French. Guillaume, I believe is how you pronounce his name, Guillaume Ray, who worked at a Vancouver restaurant on Canada's Pacific coast, filed a complaint with British Columbia's Human Rights Tribunal against his former employer, claiming discrimination against my culture. The restaurant, operated by Cara Operations, which is a large food company,
a client of mine,
accused Ray of violating its code of conduct and said he persisted in his behavior despite verbal and written performance reviews. In alleging discrimination, Ray said French culture just tends to be more direct and expressive. He owes his sacking to his direct, honest, and professional personality, which he acquired while training in France's hospitality industry. Both parties agree Ray performed well at his job despite his alleged disagreeable demeanor. While his customers might beg to differ, since obviously complaints were made, the restaurant and its parent company had attempted to dismiss the complaint, but tribunal member Devin Cosino denied that application, clearing the path for yet unscheduled hearing. She said the application's denial should not be seen as an indication of the case's outcome. Mr. Ray will have to explain what it is about French heritage that would result in behavior that people misinterpret as a violation of workplace standards of acceptable conduct, she wrote in her decision. It's awesome, right? Like, you have to admit.
Yeah, mother stinks of elderberries. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not, I'm not rude, I'm just French, basically, he said.
That'd be a good t-shirt. I like that.
I think it's hysterical. We have to keep an eye on that one and see how it turns out.
I think that works. I like the argument. As somebody who's dealt with the tribunal and his HR past and stuff, I think I like it. I would stand up for it. This is from a site called 9to5google.com. It says, Huawei, which is H-U-A-W-E-I, solicited 100-plus fake Mate 10 Pro reviews on Best Buy to entice beta testers. Huawei doesn't have the most squeaky clean reputation when it comes to its marketing and promotion tactics, but it looks like the company is stooping to a particularly disappointing lows with its Mate 10 Pro. In a private Facebook group, the company is asking for positive Best Buy reviews in exchange for a chance to be one of the few beta testers of the phone. The phone is only up for pre-order so far, and yet 108 people have left glowing reviews of the phone on its Best Buy listing. Almost all of the reviewers are a solid 5 stars, saying it is the unbeatable smartphone of the year, a great new flagship phone, and even a device that puts Samsung to shame. If you don't look a little closer, you might think that the phone genuinely has a lot of buzz and excited customers. It would certainly be easy to be misled by the small 5-star review that shows on the listing page and in search results, as well as the reassuring 108 number next to it. Unfortunately, nothing here is what it seems. So why are all these people so ecstatic about a phone that they haven't used yet? It turns out Huawei posted a private Facebook group asking its 60,000 members to post why they, all caps, want to own the Mate 10 Pro on the review section of Best Buy's website. We managed to get a screenshot of the post. Maybe some people who are genuinely excited about the Mate 10 Pro exist, but not here in the Best Buy review section. There are a few likely real 1-star reviews early on, but 105 of the 108 reviews currently showing the Mate 10 page not so coincidentally popped up after they posted the content on its Facebook page. The original post has since been deleted. As you can see, the screenshot, users have indeed been selected to get a free phone as part of the beta group. One person who presumably never used the phone said, "This phone is the best. I have an iPhone X, but I will switch to Huawei M10. It's one of the positive reviews on the customer care account has replied to, saying, "Thank you for your nice comments on the marvelous Mate 10 Pro." Another person directly referenced the beta test giveaway and their hilarious non-review posted on the same day the competition went live. So it's obviously what they did here.
Have you heard of this company before?
Nope.
Neither have I.
In these reviews, we argue of spam, references other products. This isn't all so surprising for Huawei, a company also known for extensive sponsor and promotional pushes among U.S. influencers and media. I've personally noticed sketchy reviews of similar type of, to other retailers like Amazon of their products. So my take is simple, don't trust reviews from them. Hawaii sent a brief statement in response. We said that our first priority is always the consumer, and we encourage our customers to share their experience with our devices in their own voice and through authentic conversation. Blah, blah. I'm not going to read the rest of that apology. Stop. Just stop. Stop. Give out. You can't ask, you cannot give financial or any kind of financial, even directly or indirectly, in exchange for a positive review. You can give products in exchange for a review, but you can't say they have to be 5 stars, nor can you post it before using it.
They're saying do the review and then we'll pick somebody. And then we'll pick
somebody. It's even worse. Yeah. You can't do that. You can't have it. You have to disclose. If you got a dinner at a restaurant, you can't leave a review if it was free because it's against terms of service of all those sites. Same as Best Buy. They have the same policy in there.
Does Best Buy, I don't know if you know the answer to this, but would a site like Best Buy, because Amazon obviously has their own review system. Yeah. When is Best Buy's review system like run on a third party thing?
No, it's there. It's native to them.
It's their own native. Sometimes it's third party.
Sometimes the sites will, if it's not Best Buy, which has an e-commerce site built in, some product sites will aggregate pull in the reviews from Amazon.
Like if you got a good review, you could put it on the site. Yeah.
But Best Buy is done by customers. What happens when you buy a product from them? They'll email you a month after and say, "Would you please leave us a review on the product on our site?"
And it's inside the site, kind of like you would find on Amazon. It's
native to their site, yeah.
That's cool. I didn't know that. Yeah. I haven't bought that many things at Best Buy online. Like, we have a local Best Buy where I've done lots of shopping, but not... I guess Amazon's usually my go-to for online shopping. Yeah. I don't really think about buying something online at Best Buy, which...
Usually Amazon's my default to check the quality or the reviews, even if I'm not going to buy it.
Just because of quantity, right? Exactly. Like, just because there's so many people.
We just looked at... We saw a resort in Singapore we were looking up last night had 26,000 reviews.
That was on Google, right?
Yeah, ridiculous. Like, it's just like, okay, I'll believe them if that's that many.
Well, that was a lot of people. That was a big resort. Yeah,
giant place, too.
That's interesting. Yeah. I never really thought about that, how you would... I guess there must be... If you... Like, just for business owners, I'm just thinking, like, if you wanted to actually have, like, a... native review thing on your site, like a real one, like Amazon, where you could give stars and things.
All the time, yeah.
Yeah, it must be like a plugin or something.
Yes, but there's third-party services that'll run it for you natively in your site. You're not pulling it from a third place.
Yeah.
They'll run it for you. But one of the things when you do this, you have to understand is that you're asking for reviews.
Yeah.
So they don't means they're not going to be all good, potentially. Yeah. And you have to live with that. You start deleting the bad ones.
Or you're going to start off with like one review, and that's going to be lame.
Right.
Yeah, but, I was interested. Yeah. It's interesting. It's a neat, because when... I had my own site. That wasn't really a thing yet. I mean, Amazon was it's a company.
Proof, yeah, it's great.
Reviews weren't as important. When I was getting started with Nemmies, it wasn't as big a deal. I think if I started a company today, like a product company, reviews are so important that I wonder about that. So that's interesting. That sounds like a terrible company. Now I've learned about them. So this is interesting. And this goes back to something that we talked about in Unbranding as well, when we were talking about Pepsi and the Kendall Jenner commercial, and something we've discussed on the podcast a few times about, you know, taking a moral sort of like value-based stand on something, and how in advertising, and how that can go well for some companies and how it can go really badly for other companies, and what makes the kind of why, right? Why sometimes it's good and sometimes it's bad. So it says McDonald's flipped its logo for International Women's Day, and then came the backlash. Fast food behemoth McDonald's is temporarily flipping its iconic logo and switching its packaging in some U.S. locations, a move meant to celebrate International Women's Day, the company said. But the stunt has, when they use the word stunt, you know it went badly already, but the stunt has rung hollow. No stunt is never good, you know? But the stunt has rung hollow to many of the company's critics, who say McDonald's has systematically advanced policies that disadvantage its female employees. In particular, the company has fought a sustained battle against increase to the minimum wage, an issue that affects women disproportionately. According to the Labor Department, women make up nearly two-thirds of all the hourly minimum wage earners, like we talked about Starbucks a few weeks ago. Recent research suggests that they benefit most from increases in that minimum. Hey, McDonald's, tweeted Nathan Lerner, a progressive activist, maybe instead of a cheap PR stunt where you make the M into a W to, quote, support women, you do something real, like paying your workers a living wage. This is far from the first time that activists and critics have called on McDonald's to pay its employees more. The chain, which employs 375,000 people in the United States, is a regular target for the Fight for $15 campaign, which advocates for higher wages and has found its shareholder meetings disrupted by minimum wage activists. It's also not the first time that women's groups have identified the minimum wage as a feminist issue. The National Women's Law Center, a nonprofit advocacy group, has argued that raising the minimum is key to closing the gender gap in pay and advancing the economic interests of women. Labor rights are women's rights. Carmen Perez, the co-chair of Women's March, told the Washington Post in May, and head of a march on the McDonald's in downtown Chicago, the link between the gender injustice and labor justice movements is strong, but often unacknowledged. So here we have a perfect example of something we've talked about where they want to support a cause. International Women's Day is a wonderful movement. There's a lot of great content and stuff that's shared on International Women's Day about equality and justice for women and women's rights and, you know, ending domestic violence and violence against women of all forms. But here you have a company who's known for not supporting women's equal rights. And then they adopt this rather than changing their policy and like actually, you know, walking their talk. They turn the M upside down and say, we're supporting women for International Women's Day. And you can see why they call it a stunt instead of a success. And it's very similar to what we saw with Pepsi creating their, you know, now kind of almost iconic stunt commercial with Kendall Jenner, where, you know, Pepsi wasn't known as a company that was anti-violence or, you know, pro-peaceful, you know, contact between police and the public. And then they created this video simply to get the buzz that goes along with this cause. And it really, really kind of backfired on them. And I think this is exactly the same reason. If McDonald's was a company that truly supported women, then turning your M upside down, very clever.
But not.
You know, but because they don't walk the talk, it's a stunt and...
But Starbucks
insulting.
Could have done that type of thing.
Oh, Starbucks
right?
totally could do something that. And then and that's the difference, right?
It fits your voice, yeah.
Exactly. It fits the voice. And also, you can look back at the actions of the company and see how this is part of what they believe in. It's woven into the fabric of what the company stands for, as opposed to they're using it for commercial, you know, use,
promotional
which is
purposes,
basically a promotion purposes. So.
The last stories I've got here.
They called it McFeminism, by the way. So we just got to add that. Sorry, yeah.
This is actually a listen. So you listen to this headline, and you try to think of what the story would be.
Okay.
Plane delayed 45 minutes on runway. Woman snaps photo, shares how crew is handling situation. So default right away. You're just like, what terribleness has happened here?
Yeah.
They made somebody can't go to the bathroom. They peed themselves. They whatever it is. You just nothing.
That's
good.
Where you jump to, huh?
That's exactly where I jumped.
Yeah, that's not what I was thinking at all. But
this is from Metaspoon.com. Here's the article. It says, I've been delayed more times than I have fingers, whether I'm zipping through the... That's not a lot, by the way.
11
unless
times.
Unless you have 45 fingers.
Upwards of 10.
Upwards of 10. Upwards including 10. Whether I'm zipping through the country or over international waters, there's always a good chance I'm inevitably get delayed. It's a fact of life when you love to travel as much as I do. And even though most flights are on a tight schedule and often operate like clockwork, life just sometimes gets in the way and has other plans in store. Passenger Kristen Wiley was aboard Alaskan Airlines Flight 748 departing the Seattle-Tacoma airport when after 45 minutes they hadn't budged an inch. She quickly found out the delay and updated her Facebook page saying, "We are currently sitting on a plane with a 45-minute delay. Why? Because there is an elderly woman suffering from dementia who is very upset and confused." What happens next made Kristen continue to share what she was seeing unfold in front of her eyes on social media. The elderly woman was overcome with bewilderment and emotion just before takeoff. She couldn't process what was happening around her. And to help her through the breakdown, an Alaska Airlines cabin crew showed up on the scene to talk her through it. They were extremely patient, compassionate, and worked with her husband and caregiver to find the best solution. When Kristen saw how the crew handled the delicate matter, she was thrilled by their thoughtful way of keeping everyone in the loop while maintaining the dignity of the woman. She and her husband and emotional support dog were escorted off the plane and put up in a hotel room while she recovered overnight. Kristen went on to comment about how she was so touched by how caring and human the cabin crew was in an otherwise inconvenient situation. Quote, "This is how I would want my mother, my sister, my aunt, my daughter, my niece, my friend cared for. When we got caught up hearing the not so good about airlines, the one is the opposite. It's so heartwarming and relieving to hear that there are authentic moments where humanity is still present and appreciated." Well done, Alaskan Airlines. I dig you.
Yeah, I like hearing people using their phones to share good stories.
Once in a while, right? This is a jerk that share pictures of people's feet up on walls.
Right?
I did. Let's rock. Word. A made up word.
Don't make any sense. Don't mean no offense. It brings laziness. What is all this craziness?
So, I don't know the source for this. I don't know if you know it.
I do.
It kind of made me laugh. Source. Was it actually from the company?
Yeah, it came up from the company. And was it Steve Cherry shared it with us?
Yeah, Steve Cherry shared it. So we're huge Disney fans. So I don't love saying something, you know, negative. It's not really negative about Disney, I guess. But like, you know, in marketing, sometimes we have made up vacations, right? You could call them made up words. And even some of our biggest, not vacations, holidays, even some of our biggest holidays, like, you know, Valentine's Day and Mother's Day and things like that are, you know, commercial holidays. Some negative people, not me, because I like my candy and my chocolate and my gifts, would say they could even be made up, right? Mm-hmm. Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, for example. Obviously, Father's Day is super important. So this says that Disney is offering something called the Kinder Moon.
So let Wayne guess it. What do you think the Kinder Moon
Wayne,
is?
Wayne, what do you think a Kinder Moon is from Disney?
I have no idea.
Stumped. He's
so
stumped.
So it's a special vacation similar to a honeymoon or a baby moon, but it's for families whose preschoolers are about to start kindergarten.
Right? Right?
It's a little bit crazy.
Just a little bit.
Even even this ceremony, like you see sometimes it on different TV shows, I don't know if Owen had it when he went from kindergarten to grade one, that there was like a graduation ceremony. We didn't have that. We do a ceremony marking the kids starting the grades, I guess. So maybe we do. But it's not called a graduation and there's no like party or anything.
I don't even know what grade Owen's in now.
But I like celebrating things. I really don't, as a parent, think you can celebrate too many milestones with your kids. I think it's important.
I
think the idea of taking a special vacation that's like a honeymoon to celebrate your kids moving from a kindergarten. It's preschool to kindergarten. It's not even kindergarten to like grade one or grade eight to high school or anything. It's just preschool to kindergarten is a little bit far-fetched.
When they won't even remember.
I mean, I will take one. Our kids are too old now, but we could retroactively celebrate them going from preschool to kindergarten.
I want my Kinder Moon.
You want your Kinder Moon?
Yes.
All right. Our next Disney cruise is officially your Kinder Moon, celebrating when you went from preschool to kindergarten.
Done. And I can have anything I want.
Anything you want.
Sweet.
That was a fun episode. Thank you guys for coming and listening.
Can I bring Wayne on my Kinder Moon?
I don't think Wayne wants to go on a Kinder Moon with you. I'm not going to lie. I think you made Wayne extremely uncomfortable just now as you invited him on your Kinder Moon. And when we first said it, Wayne heard Tinder Moon and Scott said that it was showing your butt on Tinder. So Now everyone's uncomfortable with me.
That's a means mission accomplished this week, folks.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and visit theunpodcast.com. And remember, friends don't let friends use QR codes.